I first visited this area in 1949 or 1950, I'm not sure which. I was impressed then, especially I thought while they were singing that the trees were clapping their hands, and I was carried very high, and I rejoiced again as I heard you sing. It's a part of our worship. I've enjoyed it a lot. I was here in 1952, 50 years ago, and I wanted very much to return. I wasn't sure that I would that would come about, but thankful that I was able, that Nick Joe and I were able to be here to worship with you. I call your attention to the reading of Psalm 72. It is called a messianic psalm, as it speaks so much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor. He shall judge the poor, and the people shall. I'm sorry. Having trouble with my print. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like the rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like brass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, is ended. This psalm has been of great comfort to me through the years. I rejoiced in it and read it repeatedly. And I hope the Lord bless it to you. I haven't attempted this before, but I want to talk to you a while if the Lord would help me. My subject is Amen. And this is a Cambridge help pronounced Bible, and they pronounce amen, amen. Webster's, Merriam-Webster's On a Bridge, 1953, gives the pronunciation amen. Sometimes amen, but in singing always amen. It means certainly, surely, truth, so be it. So be it. Both the Hebrew and the Greek definition. First definition, so be it. It is very special, but you would think in the 66 books that it would be used more times than it is. But it's only used 26 times in the Old Testament and 51 times in the New. And it is only used, I believe, 9 times in the Psalm. But where it is used, it's very special words of praise of the Lord of glory. I want to relate a little of my experience. When I first started hearing the gospel with power and much assurance in 1942, and was baptized in 1943, where I went to church and the people that I was associated with, I very seldom heard amen or amen during a sermon. The men that laid hands on me and ministers of the past for 40 years ago, I very seldom heard an amen until after service or at the conclusion of a sermon. And I'm not trying to set a pattern here. I'm telling you my experience. And one of the things that brought about my attempting to talk on this subject was that not in the last few years I've heard men calling for amens. And I say amen to everything that's here, but when it comes to my saying amen to what I say, that's a different proposition. And I'm not charging anything for that. I'm just putting that out. And recently I heard a man speak that as the congregation wasn't, there weren't a lot of amens so in the congregation, he wanted to know if the congregation had lockjaw. Here is my point. I do not believe that there has to be amens all over the house in order for people to enjoy the message. It's the Spirit of the Lord God of heaven that, and His Spirit that enables us to profit by the Word. I've spoken of it many times, but I can't express the joy that I felt and the experience of hearing the gospel preached and the message Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when that came to me with power and much assurance, and I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that he was the Savior, and I knew it with all my heart and soul, what a blessed day that was. I've been trying to tell about him all of these years, and I'm still trying to learn how to preach and how to enter this pulpit and how to approach it and how to come before the dear people of God. I noticed that amen is used here twice. Perhaps the Father and the Son, I'm not sure. You can work on that if you like. But there are three other psalms where that similar language is used and the amen is repeated. And let's think about what I read. Everything I read in this 72nd. So be it. What about the poor? What about the needy? What about the blessedness of the Son? What about his power? What about his love? Amen. So be it. Amen and amen. I noticed that the first place that amen is used in the scripture is in Numbers 5th chapter. I'll not dwell here long because I'd rather talk about something that feels more profitable and more beautiful. But the instance in the 5th chapter of Numbers is that a man suspect his bride of infidelity. And under Mosaic law, they would go to the priest, and the priest would prepare bitter water. And if the woman said, "No, I have not turned aside from my husband," the priest said, put it in my words, "Drink the bitter water. If you haven't turned aside from your husband, the water will not hurt you. But if you have, to put it in my words, you will die a miserable death." And the woman shall say, "Amen. So be it." That is a very moving incident. But that was Mosaic law. I will relate something about the bride of Jesus Christ, and I make this analogy. If you can't go along, well, I'll take it. But the bride of Christ, God, has turned aside in so many ways from their husband and fallen in so many ways. And he didn't ask me or you all of the ways that I've turned aside, but he drank the bitter water for me.
Yeah.
And he suffered the cross. And the glorious redemptive work of the Son of God in saving us from our sins, our little sins, our ugly sins, our blasphemous sins, all of the ways in which we've sinned. He saved us from our sins and the consequences of those sins, and we will live with him. Amen is used a couple of times in the book of Nehemiah. I will not turn there. It's used, I believe, in the prophecy of Jeremiah, but I believe there that it's used in irony. But I did research and looking for the various places that it was used that I might better understand the solemnity of it and its purpose. In the book of Matthew, it's only used two times. And the first instance is the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, "When you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, and lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen." You see where it was placed. And at the end, Brother Bill, it was placed that in that text, "And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the earth." Amen. There's an amen to all of the book of Matthew. There's an amen to all of the book of Mark. And there's an amen to all of the book of John. There's not an amen in the Acts of the Apostles, but there's good preaching there, and there's good teaching there, I assure you, and it tells how the church was established and as they went forth, and the various ways in the church of the living God. Paul ends all of his epistles, every one of them, with an amen. An amen ends 1 John and 2 John, but not 3 John. There's not an amen in the book of James, in the first or the closing. I still like the book of James. And as it hadn't been long since I didn't know a lot of these things, I thought maybe you'd be interested and I'd share them with you. And I hope that it will be beneficial as well. I could spend a great deal of time on each one of those, but my time would not allow it. I want to go to the last book in the New Testament, and it's used in the first chapter more than one time, and it's used in the last chapter, of course. I think that I want to read Revelation 3. Beginning 13. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." To help us understand more about what is being said here, I turn to Colossians 1 and 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, and whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the Amen. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have an Amen. And you wouldn't either. When the God of glory said he'd send his son, he said, the son said, so be it. They tried to take his life from the day he was born, but they couldn't touch him because his hour had not yet come. Our brother talked about when the hour had come. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. So be it. He was saying amen to what he was going through. And everything that we have, all blessings and all goodness and all mercy that we enjoy comes through him, because he made us acceptable in the sight of the Father. And he lives and reigns and rules. And as it's already been said, he's our intercessor. He's not only the Amen, but he is the chief among 10,000 and altogether lovely. And without his quickening power and divine love in our souls, he would have been without form and would have been undesirable and would have no form or comeliness that we would desire him. But when we see him as a God-man and as our mediator and our near kinsman and our peace and the Amen, that we can say Amen, then he is all glorious and precious. I trust he's precious to your souls and to your hearts and mine. And he has proclaimed the gracious words, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yeah. But I couldn't count the cost that it cost him. I couldn't measure it. I can read Psalm 22, and I can go over it and over it. That describes the agony as minutely as any other reading I know of. But I can't fathom the depth of the price that he paid. All the silver and all the gold of Ophir, the cattle of 1,000 hills, the forest of Lebanon, and all the riches of earth, and all the sacrifices. He only is the sacrifice that would pay the debt. And he willingly took that on himself. He's the Amen and the Amen. May God bless you.
Amen.